means exactly, but I do understand that he is all in all to me. And I appreciate the Lord. Served myself and served sin for 21 years of my life. And the only thing that I regret is that I didn't choose to serve the Lord sooner. I can say this, though, the very first time that I heard the gospel, truly heard the gospel, I knew that Jesus had died on the cross, but I had no idea why he died on the cross. And the very first time that I heard the gospel, I got saved, January 30th of 2000. My life has never been the same since. I remember going to the altar and giving my heart to the Lord, and the preacher who was up there, he got all those, of course, it was at a charismatic church, and I was probably one of the only ones who was there that Sunday that wasn't there the Sunday before, and the Sunday before, and the Sunday before. That's why so many people get saved in charismatic churches. It's the same people over and over and over a lot of times. But went to the altar and gave my heart to the Lord, and he was telling everybody to pray this prayer. He said, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I no sooner began to get those words out of my mouth, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. And the weight of my sins crushed me, and I fell to my knees and began to cry out to God. And I felt such a washing, a cleansing. And although the blood of Jesus wasn't physically placed upon me, I could feel that blood cleanse my heart from sin. Amen. Just as the Word of God said, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing them to his cross. I love the Lord tonight. I'm thankful that he saved my soul. Amen. I appreciate the offering again tonight. We just want to say how much we appreciate the accommodations and the hospitality. And it's good to be in the South. Amen. Even if there is a Hoosier staying near us. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't even talk about the lizard. No. Amen. I love the Lord tonight, and I'm thankful to be here. And we want to say also we're thankful for the food that's been brought by to us. We ate so good today, and I appreciate that. Really do appreciate that. If you'll go with me in the Word of God, I want to preach from my favorite book. It's not good to play favorites, but I have a favorite book. And I actually want to focus on my favorite verse tonight. And I didn't plan it that way, just the Lord directed my heart that way this afternoon. Hebrews, in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the book that has no author, and yet we all know who the author is. It's the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter number 2, and I want to read 13 verses there with you, beginning in verse 5. I hope that's not too many verses for you. And I understand if you're not able to stand for too long, but as we're able to, let's stand in honor of God's Word. Here it says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. These verses are speaking about creation and where God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. Here in verse 9 it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause, I like this, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold I and the children which God hath given me. This is my favorite verse. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, But he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. I want to preach for a little while tonight and ask you a question. Are you in your place? Amen. Would you ask God to help us tonight? Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done for us. I pray, God, tonight that you would anoint me to preach your word. And I ask, God, that you'd help us to respond to your word tonight. Let your word go forward with power. And I pray that your word would have free course tonight. Help me to make your word manifest as I ought to. And Lord, I pray that in all things you would receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I appreciate the Lord tonight. I love these scriptures. Thank you for standing in honor of God's word tonight. I know there's a lot of scriptures here. And I know you're thinking, man, he preached a long time last night. He's sure going to preach a long time tonight. But I want to preach out of all these scriptures here tonight. And I can tell you, I know I have a word from the Lord because it came from God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's no greater place to get a word from the Lord than to find it in God's word. In fact, you know, these who call themselves the Word of Faith movement, they talk about the fact that they have a rhema word. And they've got a misunderstanding of what a rhema word is. You know, in the Word of God, there's two different words that are used for God's Word. One is rhema and the other is logos. And the word rhema has a now application. The word logos has an eternal understanding of it. We know that God's Word, the logos, has been from the very beginning. Amen. We know that it was in the beginning with God, was God, and the Word was made flesh, and that logos is eternal. It is forever settled in heaven. But at the same time, we understand there is such a thing as a rhema, a right now word, a word that is applicable right now, a word that applies to our situation, applies to our condition, applies to what we're going through. But the misunderstanding that these Word of Faith, Kenneth Copeland type people have is that they think that they need to search out for some new word that is for right now. But their problem is, hey man, it's not talking about a new word that we've invented somewhere or even that an angel has given us, but it's talking about the Word of God, hey man, that is made real to our present situation. Hey man, that word rhema is where Paul was talking about the sword of the Spirit. Hey man, and that rhema word is the Word, not a new revelation, but the same old revelation made new to us because it applies to our situation. Amen. Well, I don't want to preach about that tonight, but I've got a rhema word for you here tonight. I felt God quicken on my heart this afternoon these scriptures as I was reading through them. Amen. And I want to talk to you for a little while tonight, and I want to ask you once again, are you in your place? Amen. Hallelujah. I was outside of my National Guard armory up in Pennsylvania. And I looked out the door, and I was standing out there, and I was trying to call my wife that day. And I looked out, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw this great majestic bird flying through the sky. I don't know if you guys are as much of a fan as I am. I love to watch majestic birds, especially the eagle, but I like to watch red-tailed hawks as well. I love to see them soar through the skies. I love to see them swoop down and pick up their prey. I love to see them in their majesty and what beautiful sight it is as they spread their wings and catch the wind and soar through the skies. Amen. And this day I looked outside and I saw something that seemed to be a little bit odd to me. I saw one of these red-tailed hawks soaring through the sky with a bunch of little pesky birds flying all around it. Amen. These little pesky birds were just pecking at this hawk as it's soaring through the sky and surrounding this hawk and chasing it through the sky. And the hawk veered to the left and veered to the right and veered to the left and went up and went down and tried to get away from these little pesky birds. And all the while, I'm watching this majestic bird hindered by these little pesky birds. And I'm thinking, does this hawk really understand who he is? Amen. Does he really realize the place that he has in the animal kingdom? Amen. Whereas he is a bird of prey, and those that are coming against him are pesky little prey that he could surely feast upon. Does he really know his place? Does he really know who he is and what type of bird that he is and the place that he's supposed to occupy in the kingdom of God? Amen. That's what I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about. Amen. We're looking in the book of Hebrews. Wonderful book. And the reason why I would say it's one of my two favorite books in the Bible, really I almost could say three, is because of the chief subject of the book is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Colossians, amen, presents Christ as the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him bodily. John pictures Christ as being the Word that was in the beginning with God and was God. What a beautiful picture those two books place of Christ. But I love the picture here in Hebrews, amen, of Jesus being better. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful picture that it is. Jesus is better. That's the main message of the book. And as you look through the book, the writer of Hebrews brings out the fact that Jesus is better, amen, than the prophets. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus has a better covenant that's established upon better promises. Amen. Jesus brings us into a better rest. And Jesus is one who's a minister in a better temple. Jesus is a better priest who offers a better sacrifice and brings a better experience. Amen. The writer of this book was impressed with one person, and that person was Jesus. And his message for those in that day is the same in this hour today. Amen. That Jesus is better. Hallelujah. Amen. As you look in the book of Hebrews, the Jew would read the book and understand, amen, that the writer of Hebrews was talking about Jesus, amen, as being the seed of Abraham that would bless the nations. The writer of Hebrews would understand, amen, that Jesus, hallelujah, was the prophet that would come from among his brethren that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Amen. The writer said that as God through at sundry times and diverse manners spake unto our fathers in times past through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The word of God, amen, came to the prophets little by little by little. But it wasn't enough. Amen. Simple words that were spoken by a man couldn't give a picture of who this Jesus was. Amen. But Jesus, the Bible says, is the express image of God's person. Amen. He is the brightness of his glory, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. What a wonderful picture of Christ that we see here in this book. Amen. Not only was he Moses' prophet, but he was Samuel's priest. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, we find that Eli's priesthood had been rejected. Amen. They had rejected Eli. God had spoken through a prophet, a nameless prophet, and said that God had rejected Eli's priesthood because of his son's wickedness. And he let him know that Hophni and Phinehas would die a tragic death. But I love what it says toward the end of the chapter. He said that God would raise up a faithful priest, amen, who would do all of God's will and would please God. Amen. Samuel's priest has come. Amen. Because lo, in the volume of thy book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. Amen. 2:17, we read it, says that he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only was he the prophet and the priest that's spoken of in the Old Testament, but Jesus is David's king. Amen. That's the Jesus that's pictured here in the book of Hebrews. That's the Christ who came. Amen. He came unto his own. And what a picture his own had of him. But his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. I love the book of Hebrews. Amen. I love every chapter, every verse. Amen. I love to dig through the pages and see a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's some who say, if you're going through a hard time, read the book of Psalms. Surely the book of Psalms will help you. Amen. But I want you to know this, friend. If you're going through a hard time, you need to read a book from the Bible that'll give you a clear picture of Jesus. Amen. Because no one can help you like Jesus can help you. No one can bring you through your trial like Christ himself can. No one can let you understand that you've got somebody with you like Jesus can. Amen. When I'm low, I need to look up under the hills from whence cometh my help. Praise God. Jesus, this word that we're reading here today, chapter number 2, Jesus, the context is Jesus is better than the angels. Amen. Chapter number 1, there's different scriptures from the book of Psalms that are used to prove that Christ was better than the angels. Under which of the angels did he say sit on my right hand? Under which of the angels did he say these things too? Amen. Of which of the angels could it be said that he holds all things, upholds all things by the word of his His power. Amen. Then we go into the book of Hebrews chapter number 2. And the conclusion of the argument is that although Jesus did, was made a little lower than the angels, He was still better than the angels. How is this possible? Amen. We can see that Jesus is better than the angels because through His humanity, He did not lose His deity. Praise God. Even though He was made a little lower than the angels, He was still, amen, in charge of the angels. Oh, thank God. Amen. There's a little fascination in this day and hour with angels. Amen. I can tell you angels are great. Angels have served a great purpose in the kingdom of God, but angels never take the place of Jesus. Amen. Nor should they ever be given the same type of attention as Jesus is given. Amen. Oh, thank God. I look in the book of John, chapter number 5. I find a man who was sitting by a pool called Bethesda. I see a great multitude of people who are fascinated with a certain angel who's going to come by and trouble the waters. Amen. I've heard so many preach about the troubling of the waters. I want you to know, amen, what brought healing to that man was not the troubling of the waters. Amen. It wasn't the angels. It wasn't what any angel could do. Amen. But Jesus walked by that man. Amen. And He said, "Would you be made whole?" And he said, "I don't have a man." And Jesus said, "Amen. You don't need an angel. You don't need a man. But I've come to do all that you need done. I am what you need." Thank God. Amen. It's not in angels that we find our redemption or salvation, but it's the one who has at His charge legions of angels. Hallelujah. Praise God. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are in the kingdom of God. Amen. Angels are not our object of worship. Angels are not those that we serve. Amen. The Bible tells us that angels, amen, His ministers that are a flame of fire, those angels that are a flame of fire, those angels, amen, that are given forth to minister, are given to minister to us. Just like they ministered to Jesus after He'd been tempted for 40 days. Amen. Oh, and I'm thankful, amen, for the one who has at His charge legions of angels. He was lower than the angels, but He's better than the angels. Amen. He's better than the angels in many ways. But we can see here that this chapter in chapter number 2, amen, the writer of Hebrews was showing that just because Jesus put on flesh doesn't mean that He was not equal or not better than the angels. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the conclusion of the argument here. Now I want to talk for a little while just to begin with talking about the miracle of Christ's incarnation. I know it's not Christmas. I know we got a few months to go before that day comes. I know it's not, y'all don't see the snow like we do, but I know the season comes and we like to put the red in different places and the green and have those nice tablecloths. And some of you, I don't know if you're like my wife or not, but you decorate your kitchen all up so beautifully. My wife does a great job at that. Amen. But I know and you know that Christmas is more than just decorations around a house. Amen. Christmas is more than just getting together on a day. Amen. What we say, celebrate is something that we shouldn't just take one day to celebrate, but it should be something that captivates our minds. Amen. That stirs our hearts, that captures our affections and our attention. Amen. The incarnation of Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to see. Here the writer of Hebrews said, "For as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, He likewise also Himself took part of the same." What does that tell us, Brother Lamb? That tells us that the humanity that Jesus had was the same humanity that you and I have. Amen. That tells us that the humanity that we've got, flesh and blood, Jesus partook of flesh and blood. Amen. That same humanity that we have is the same humanity that Jesus had. What a miracle. Amen. That was there at the incarnation. Christ born of a virgin. Amen. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And that which was conceived in her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That holy thing called Jesus. Amen. That's what the Bible says, and that child that was born, amen, was nothing more than the Son of God, amen, Himself, born, amen, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a stable, laid in a manger. What a miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you comprehend in your mind? I know I can't fully comprehend it. Amen. But I love what the Word of God says. One of my favorite verses in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think its sister verse is verse number 14, where He says, amen, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I know there's some things that are spoken of in parentheses there, but after that it says, we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. Amen. If you could take those two verses and put them together, here's what you'd get. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Amen. And the Word was with God and dwelt among us. And the Word was God. We beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. That's what the incarnation is. Amen. There had been a flaming sword that was placed outside the Garden of Eden to keep man from God's presence. There was a veil that had been placed between man and God's presence there in the tabernacle and in the temple. But oh, thank God. Amen. In the incarnation, amen, God came down to man. Hallelujah. What a miracle that was in the incarnation. He wasn't born like we are. Amen. He was born in an altogether different way. Amen. We may have been born, but we never became flesh like He did. We may have been born, but we didn't take upon ourselves the nature, amen, and the seed of Abraham. We may have been born, amen, but we had no choice in the matter. Amen. We had no involvement in the occasion itself. Amen. The incarnation of Christ, amen, is a wonderful and magnificent truth that should captivate our hearts. Amen. God came down to man. He is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. This one who is God, was God, was with God. He was not thought of, not robbed to be equal with God. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can picture in your mind the angels as they beheld the event. Amen. I've heard some speak of it before and talk about the angels saying, Lord, can't we go and proclaim it on the earth? Can't we go and sound the trumpet and let the world know of what a wonderful thing has taken place? And the Father speaks to the angels and says, well, I'll let you talk to someone. Amen. But I'll let you only go to those lowly shepherds that are shepherding some sheep there in the hills of Bethlehem. Amen. Oh, the angelic announcement was not the focus, for the angels said, go and find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And the shepherds, amen, and the wise men gathered round as they beheld a baby, amen, being held by Mary, who was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that Jesus was incarnate. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, but He didn't just come to the earth so we could gather around the manger. He didn't just come down so we could gather around the beautiful scene where His mother and His foster father Joseph were dwelling. He didn't just come down so we could picture Him in our minds as a cute little baby in a manger. We know that He grew and He grew older and He matured and He waxed stronger and He learned and He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And this Christ, amen, didn't just come to be born. Amen. His birth was simply the beginning of what His most important moment was. Amen. You remember when Simeon came to Mary in Luke chapter number 2, verses 34 and 35. Simeon spoke to Mary and said that this child will be for the fall and rising again of many. Then he let her know that this child was for a sign. And what a wonderful sign it is to know that a virgin would give birth. Amen. A virgin would conceive and give birth to a child whose name would be Emmanuel. Amen. But he also let her know that though this child would be a sign, this child would also bring a sword, and this sword would pierce Mary's own heart. And that was a picture, amen, of the purpose of Christ's incarnation. Jesus didn't just come to the earth to come down, but Jesus came to the earth, amen, so that He could fulfill the Father's will and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 and 14 links the two inseparably. The birth of Christ with the death of Christ. Amen. Jesus wasn't simply born to live, but Jesus was born to die. He was a man on a mission from the time of His birth. Amen. He came to die. And every step that Jesus took was a step closer to the cross. Every day that Jesus lived was a day closer to the day that He gave His life for you and for me. Amen. What we see here, amen, is that Jesus' incarnation, there was a mission that He came to accomplish. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to get somewhere here today. Amen. I'm on my way. But I want you to understand He was born. Amen. I want you to understand who was born. Amen. It's the Son of God. Hallelujah. He's God in the flesh. I had a woman pull me aside after I got done preaching. Amen. She said, you know, there's a lot of people who think that Jesus was God. I just wanted to listen. She was older than me. I've been pulled aside a few times, and I just listen. And she said, Jesus wasn't God. He was the Son of God. I said, well, what do you think about John chapter 20 and verse 28 where Thomas said, my Lord and my God. She didn't have a whole lot to say. The conversation went a different direction. But I want you to know, amen, that the babe that was there in the manger at his birth, he was very God and very man. Amen. All through his childhood, he was very God and very man. He didn't become God, but he was God. And all through his childhood, amen, if you ever wanted to know how God would act if he was a child, you can look at Jesus and see. If you wanted to know how God would act if he was a teenager, you can look at Jesus as a teenager and see. Amen. If you wanted to know just how God would act if he worked as a carpenter, watch Jesus as he works with his foster father Joseph as a young man. Amen. In the carpenter's trade. Amen. God incarnate. God in the flesh. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I know that the Word became flesh, but becoming flesh did not take his deity away. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, as we follow Christ in his life, amen, we talked already about the fact that he was born with a purpose. And the purpose of his incarnation, amen, was to go all the way to the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. The reason why he came and went to the cross was because he was trying to bring you and I back to the place where we belonged. Amen. I want you to know tonight, amen, that you may not be in a place where you know God wants you to be. Amen. But the purpose of Christ's birth and the purpose of Christ's life and the purpose of Jesus laying down his life, amen, was to bring us to the place that we ought to be. Amen. The first thing he had to do, we talked about the fact already, amen, Jesus came, and we read here in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verses 8 and 9, really 7 through 9, talk about the fact that man was originally created and given dominion over all the things. Amen. God made him a little lower than the angels. Amen. This is speaking of Adam. Amen. But Jesus came in Hebrews chapter 2, and he wanted to first show us where we should be. Amen. We didn't see Adam. We didn't see that type of dominion. But when Christ came to the earth, amen, Jesus came to give us a physical example. Amen. A visible, amen, sight that we could behold with our eyes of one who had the dominion that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. Amen. The writer there in Hebrews said, we know that God made him. He put all things under him. Amen. He put him over all things and all things under him. But although this was the place that man originally was, we don't see all these things, the writer said. We don't see them. But I like what he said after that. Amen. He didn't stop there. He said, but we see Jesus. Hallelujah. As we look around us in this world, it seems pretty obvious sometimes that this world is in a mess. It seems pretty obvious sometimes that all of creation groans and travails and waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation is looking forward to the day when the earth will be redeemed. Amen. It seems as though we understand, amen, that this world around us is nothing but chaos. Amen. Just as the fact that God, amen, took chaos and made cosmos in the beginning. Amen. In the same way, God will take the chaos that this world has become and restore all things to their original condition. The paradise that Adam lost will be restored. Amen. And when did this begin? When did the process begin? Well, of course, in Jesus' birth. Amen. We know that in his birth, hallelujah, there was a light that shone from heaven. Amen. And there the night became as light. Amen. But whoa, it didn't stop there. As we look forward to the end of Christ's ministry, amen, when he gave his life on Calvary, there at noon, amen, the sun was turned to darkness. For 3 hours the sun did not shine. This was no solar eclipse, for solar eclipses last but for a moment. Amen. But the light became as night when the Son of God gave his life. Amen. And as he was giving his life upon the cross, we know that we could picture the whole scene and talk about all that was going on. But I want to tell you, when Jesus was dying upon the cross, I want to destroy a little myth. I want to be a mythbuster here today. Amen. The devil wasn't having a party. No, he wasn't. Amen. The devil wasn't gathering his hooligans and having a ball in hell. First of all, the devil's not in hell yet. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of this world. He's not in hell yet. But all, the devil wasn't having a party when Jesus was dying upon the cross. The devil wasn't taking any glory or any joy as Jesus was enduring the cross and despising the shame. If you'll go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16 and verse 18, 19 and 20, there Jesus tells Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Then he goes on and begins to tell them about the things that he's going to suffer and how he would need to die and suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes. And then Peter said, "Be it far from you, Lord." And the Bible says he beheld him and rebuked him. Jesus was pulled aside by Peter. And Peter said, "Lord, you can't go to the cross." And what was Jesus' response? "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus knew that voice. That voice that told him, "Don't go to the cross." That voice that tried to keep him from going all the way to the cross. Amen. Satan wasn't trying to kill Jesus on the cross. Satan tried to kill Jesus when he was first born, but he didn't succeed. Satan tried to kill Jesus when he first went to the synagogue in Matthew chapter 4, when they were going to cast him headlong over a cliff, but he didn't succeed. Satan wanted to kill Christ when the multitudes were going to stone him, but he passed through the midst of them, untouched and unscathed. Amen. The devil wasn't trying to push Jesus to the cross. Amen. The devil wasn't putting the nails in his hands. But I believe what Jesus said when he said that I lay my life down and I'll take it up again. No man and no devil took Jesus' life from him. But he laid it down willingly for a purpose. Amen. He did it for a purpose. And as Jesus was dying on the cross, amen, he said, "It is finished." And those words that he spoke, I don't know, we can't prove 100% what exactly his last words were. They're in different orders in some places, and some authors give emphasis to certain words Jesus spoke and not others. Amen. We know there were seven sayings of Christ on the cross, but I personally believe that the last words that he spoke were, "It is finished." And when the Bible says that he cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, I believe when he was crying with a loud voice, it was a triumphant cry of, "It is finished." It wasn't a defeatist Savior. It wasn't a pathetic, mangled being who didn't have the ability to speak. Amen. But Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, amen, a man who shouldn't have had any strength, amen, lifted himself up and he screamed, cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And I like what happened there. The Bible says that the earth quaked. You know what was happening? Just as much as when Adam fell, amen, just as much as when Adam fell, all of creation and the earth was cursed and the earth felt the effects of Adam's fall. I believe there on that day that the earth felt the effects of Jesus' victory. And there on that day, amen, the earth, amen, shared in the victory that Christ won there at Calvary. Calvary was not a place of defeat or even of temporary defeat for the Son of God. For here the Word of God says that through death he destroyed him who had the power of death. Amen. First of all, Jesus' incarnation, he showed us where we ought to be. Amen. When Jesus was on the earth, amen, he did what the first Adam couldn't do. Notice the Bible calls Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. Amen. He could have just said the second Adam, but the Holy Ghost wanted to make sure that we knew it was the last Adam. Because Jesus did, amen, what no man will ever have to come back and redo. Adam messed it up, but Jesus fixed it. Praise God. Adam couldn't do it, but Jesus did. Adam failed, but Jesus didn't fail. Jesus went all the way and he did what no man could do. Amen. The first Adam failed, but the last Adam, who's also called the second Adam, did for once and for all, amen, what needed to be done to restore humanity and the world to the place where we were supposed to be. And we see in Jesus, amen, a man who's walking in the place that Adam should have been walking. A man who could speak to the sea and the sea would obey. A man who could speak to a fig tree and the fig tree would be cursed. A man who could walk upon the water, amen, and have that ability and power over creation. Amen. We see in Jesus a man who's got the place and is in the place that Adam should have been. We don't see anybody. We don't see Adam where he should have been. But we see this last Adam who's come, amen, and all things are subject to him. We see this last Adam walking, amen. He's in the midst of a wilderness, whereas the first Adam was in a garden. Amen. In the wilderness, this last Adam conquered the devil when he was tempted. In the wilderness, amen, but in the garden, the first Adam fell to Satan when he was tempted. Amen. This last Adam has sickness under his feet. This last Adam, amen, has diseases under his feet. This last Adam even has blindness under his feet. This last Adam has death under his feet. This last Adam, whoa, all, thank God, amen, has death under his feet. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he spoke to Lazarus. Amen. And he spoke to Jairus' daughter. And he spoke to the widow's son in Nain. And he spoke, and, amen, and he touched them, and they came to life. Amen. Death was subject to him. All things were put under his feet. We see in Jesus what we never saw in Adam. But thank God for this last Adam. Amen. That gives us a picture of where God intended for man to be. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you thankful that God's not going to have to send another Savior? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that God made it on the first try? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus showed us where we should be. He put us, He occupied the place where we should be. Amen. Second, Jesus put the devil in his place. Amen. And these last 2 points here, I want to really preach for a little while about. And I want to focus on these, and I hope if you have not heard anything I said, I hope you understand what I'm trying to talk to you about here tonight. The purpose of Christ's incarnation was to die, and the reason Jesus died was to destroy the devil. The Bible says that through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Amen. The Bible does not mince its words. The Bible doesn't lie. Amen. The Word of God tells us that Satan had the power of death. Amen. He is the one who had the power of death. That is the devil. Amen. We understand that every man who died, amen, from Adam on down the line, amen, died, amen, because the Lord allowed Satan to have the power of death. And the death angel that passed through, amen, Exodus there, I don't know exactly who it was, but I know that Satan is the one who wields the power and has the power of death. And every man who has lived on this earth in the back of their mind, amen, thinks about death. And there's a fear in the depth of our heart. I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough a man you might be. Amen. There's not a person on this earth that does not somehow fear death. We fear death because it's the unknown. We fear death because we don't know everything there is to know about the afterlife. We fear death because of its surprising suddenness. Amen. Death could come at any moment. Amen. We're not guaranteed the next second. And so death is something that from the beginning of creation until now, amen, man has feared. And through fear of death, Satan holds people in bondage. But I like what the Bible says. He destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And if you read in Colossians chapter number 2, verses 14 and 15, we quoted part of it earlier. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us. He took them out of the way, nailing them to his cross. Amen. Then I like what it says there. He spoiled, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. If you want to know what the word it is, that word it is in reference to the cross. That's talking about Jesus triumphing at Calvary. That's talking about Christ. They put the nails in his hands. They put the nails in his feet. But every mince of pain, Jesus knew, was a step closer to victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I wish I had I wouldn't dare to blindfold somebody with this because it's all wet and nasty. But if you could picture on me, maybe you've seen some of the pictures. Maybe you've seen them when we were in Iraq. Anytime there was a prisoner of war that was captured. Anytime we brought somebody in who was an insurgent. Hey man, we would take their weapon away from them and we would blindfold them. And then you would see them, you'd see pictures sometimes of them. No weapon, blindfolded, hands tied behind their back. Amen. Spoiled. That's what that word spoiled means. If you look it up, that word spoiled means stripped. Stripped as in a weapon, stripped from somebody. And just as much as it's true, amen, you're a tough man if you can kill someone, amen, with your own weapon. You're a tough man if you can kill someone with your bare hands. But you're a really tough man if you can take somebody else's weapon and kill them with their own weapon. Amen. Oh, if you can picture in your mind, amen, this man in the Old Testament whose name was Haman. Haman hated Mordecai. And so he prepared some gallows in order to kill Mordecai and put him to his death. He wanted Mordecai to hang, and so he prepared some gallows. But if you look in the Word of God, you'll find that the gallows he prepared for Mordecai were the gallows that he himself hung upon. What happened to him? He was killed by his own weapon. Amen. Oh, thank God. And what happened at Calvary? We see a strong show of force, and our Savior used the devil's best weapon against him, and there he destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. devil. Oh, the Son of God was manifest, 1 John 3:8, to destroy the works of the devil. And Satan himself was spoiled. It was made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. Hallelujah. I know the sufferings of Calvary are a picture of God's love to us. But think in your mind. I don't know if you have before. Every time I think of Calvary, amen, I do understand God loves me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, and Jesus went through such shame and agony and defeat, or not defeat, excuse me, but shame and agony, amen, and punishment as He went to the cross for us. Amen. But there on Calvary that day, amen, have you ever thought in your mind that although they were putting nails into His hands, He was still in control? Hallelujah. Have you ever thought of the fact that though they were piercing His side, He was still in control? And although the Romans may have put a stone in front of the tomb, amen, Jesus was still in control. Hell didn't have a 3-day camp meeting. Amen. Satan was walking around, like Brother Shoecraft said, holding his head, saying, "Oh, my head. Oh, my head. I'm never going to recover from this one." Oh, my head. Amen. For the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the seed of the woman, that's the Messiah, would come forth and He would bruise Satan's head under His feet. Thank God. Amen. That word bruise could also be translated crushed. Amen. I know that Satan has bruised many. Amen. But Jesus is a crusher. Jesus is a crusher. Jesus is a breaker. And He's broken the devil. He has smashed his head. Hallelujah. Satan has been destroyed. Jesus came to show us where we should be. And he came to put the devil at his place. He came to put the devil in his place. Amen. I like what Acts 2:24 says. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Having loosed the pains of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it's verse 56, says that the sting of death is sin. Loosed the pains of death. The sting of death is sin. Amen. When Jesus went to the cross, He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary. I'm just trying to tell you, Jesus took our sins away. He washed our sins with His own blood. He gave Himself as the one sacrifice to take our sins away. Now, guess what? Death has no more sting. Now, guess what? Amen. There's no more pains of death. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Amen. The sting of death is sin. Amen. But thank God, if there's no sin, amen, death does not sting you. Amen. What did Jesus do when He went to Calvary? He detoothed that old lion called the devil. Hallelujah. He took the stinger out of that old serpent called the devil. He detoothed that lion. You know the Bible says that Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says as a roaring lion, and you probably heard Brother T mention it before, but I like the illustration where he says, amen, that old roaring lion was the old lion in the pack. Amen, that was the head of the pack. Amen, but he didn't have the strength that he once did, and his teeth were beginning to fall out, and this lion had one strength that he could roar really loud. Amen. And he would use all the other lions of the pack, amen, to ambush little gazelles and things like that. Amen. And he would cause these smaller lions to drive the gazelles to the roaring lion, the old lion. That old lion, amen, would see the gazelles approaching and know that the young lions were on their trail. He would rise up and he would let out a big roar. Roar! Knowing that he didn't have the strength to chase down all those gazelles. Knowing that all he'd be able to do is hopefully he'd be able to come by and get a few nibbles after everybody else, amen, killed the prey. Amen. But all this was a great tactic because this lion knew that because of the fear that was in these gazelles, they would turn tail and run. And in running, they wouldn't even realize it until it was too late. They would turn and run. And in turning and running, they'd run right into the ambush that was set by the young lions. Amen. What a picture we see. Amen. Of the devil dealing with Christians. Amen. He roars. Amen. It seems like he's going to kill us. And fear begins to rise up in us. Amen. We think he's got such great power. And so many times we do just what those gazelles do. We turn tail and run. But that's not the place where we should be. You see, God's put the devil in his place. He's shown us where our place should be. And I think it's high time that we take the place that the Lord has made for us. Amen. I know the devil, he is truly a roaring lion. I know the devil truly could devour us. I know the devil truly does steal, kill, and destroy. But I read in the Word of God, amen, that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I read in the Word of God, amen, that though He is a roaring lion, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the next time that old serpent's, amen, on your trail, next time that old roaring lion is screaming real loud, don't turn tail and run. Amen. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Amen. We weren't made to live in fear. Amen. But Jesus went to the cross. He destroyed the devil. And now His work is to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, Jesus, amen, came to the earth, lived His life to show us where we should be. He died upon the cross to destroy the devil. And now the work of Christ is to bring us to the place where we should be. And I want you to know tonight, friend, if you're not in the place where you should be, if you're not in a place where things are under your feet instead of over your head, amen, Jesus is here to give you that victory. Amen, Christ is here to put Satan under your feet. Amen, and give you that same victory. Amen, Micah, I think it's 5:2, says the breaker hath broken up. Amen. Says the breaker has come. They have broken up. There's a victory that's won. And there's some others that enjoy that victory. Amen. Jesus won the victory at Calvary. Christ died upon the cross. He defeated the devil. And in defeating the devil, amen, He has made us more than conquerors. Amen. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. I like what Romans chapter 16:20 says. It says there, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Uh-huh. The God of peace. We have a misunderstanding of peace. We think that we can have peace if we can just make everyone our friend. Amen. Peace doesn't come through making friends. Peace comes through destroying your enemies. That's where peace comes from. Amen. These yuppies in America that don't like war, amen, they need to understand that peace never comes through being friends with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or Iran or any of those crazy countries. Peace comes through destroying our enemies. Amen. The same is true in the spiritual realm. Peace doesn't come by becoming friends with the devil. Peace doesn't come by just laying low and hoping the devil leaves you alone. Peace doesn't come by hiding from the enemy. Peace doesn't come by sitting back and not doing anything, hoping you don't stir the devil up. But peace comes through putting the devil in his place in your life. Jesus won the victory. But friend, you're going to have to enforce that victory in your life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gave us power to strengthen us. God gave us love to soften our hearts. God gave us a sound mind to steer us where we ought to go. Amen. We have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. Our help comes in knowing, amen, number one, we're not strong enough by ourselves to defeat the devil. Number two, amen, there's one who's in us. We can cry out with that spirit of adoption, amen, and He will come to our aid. I like what Hebrews 2:14 that gives us a picture of. We read it, for as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood. Then it goes to the end, and it says, He destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. But if you'll look in between there, in the beginning of the verse, it's His children. At the end of the verse, it's the devil. But right in the between there, it says He also. He put Himself right in the middle of His children and the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We don't fight in our own strength. There's somebody standing between us. Amen. Our might is not our own might, but we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. Thanks be unto God, which always giveth us the victory. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. In Christ we have victory. In Christ the devil has no power over us. In Christ we should not be in bondage. Amen. Fear should not rule our lives. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus came to deliver us from our bondage. Jesus came to deliver us through our trials. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 concludes with us speaking of a priest. Amen. Jesus came to deliver us, not just from something, but through something. I think that's where most of us are most of the time in our lives. We're going through something. If you're not going through something now, that means you're probably not going anywhere. Amen. If you're going to go somewhere with the Lord, you're going to have to go through something. Amen. There's sometimes we think because we're going through something that God doesn't love us. There's times that we think we're going through something because maybe we're doing something wrong. I understand there is such a thing as a chastisement of the Lord. Amen. But if you're walking in all of God's Word that you know to walk in, if you're doing everything that you know God wants you to do, if you're being obedient in the small things and being faithful to church and the house of God, amen, if you're serving the Lord in every way that you know how to serve Him, but still trials come, amen, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with your life. Job was a perfect and upright man. Amen. He did no evil. Amen. He neither charged God foolishly, but the Bible says he was tempted. Amen. He was tested. Amen. We as Christians, we will go through temptations. We as Christians, we will go through trials. We will go through tests. We will have our faith tried. Amen. I like what the Bible says. I like it, but I know what it means. And I don't like what I have to go through for it to happen. Amen. But I know what happens. Where Joseph, the Bible says, the word of the Lord tried him. You ever thought about that verse? The word of the Lord tried him. Has the word of the Lord ever tried you? Lord, I know your word says. I know your word says, but it's not happening. Lord, I know your word says, but it's not happening for me right now. I know your word. I don't understand, God. I know the word of the Lord says that I should have joy, but why is it that there's tears? I know the word of the Lord says, amen, that I should be, seeing, blessings come my way, but why is it that I feel so dry sometimes? I know the word of the Lord says that He'd make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Why is it that my enemies are raging on every side? Amen. Remember this, friend. Amen. If it's a sin to go through temptation, amen. Why did Jesus go through temptation? Amen. The Bible says that He was in all points tempted, like as we are. Amen. Yet without sin. We've got a wrong mindset. You know what we think? I say this because I've been there. We think that when we go through temptation, it's a sign that we're doing something wrong. Just think back in your mind. Maybe it's longer ago for you, harder to remember. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm glad you've been serving the Lord longer than I have. Amen. For me, it's a little more recent. Amen. I remember 8 years ago when I wasn't saved. Amen. 9 years ago, really, that I wasn't saved. And I remember, amen, it wasn't a temptation to smoke a cigarette. It's just what I did. That's just my lifestyle. The devil didn't tempt me with that. The devil didn't tempt me with smoking. The devil didn't tempt me with lying. The devil didn't tempt me with these things. I was already doing them. Amen. There was no temptation on the outside to do that. There was a lust on the inside that was always doing that. And that's my lifestyle. Amen. That's where I had become. Sin had polluted me so much to where I'd yielded my members as servants and instruments of unrighteousness. And now the devil was my father. Amen. That's where I was at that point in my life. But after I got saved, you know what happened to me? That devil came against me and tried to get me to do the things that I once did. Amen. There wasn't something from the inside, but it was a devil on the outside. Amen. The devil tempted me, then he beat me over the head. He said, look at you. You're being tempted. Isn't he a liar? Isn't he the father of all lies? Amen. You know what the devil does to you? When you get saved, the devil tells you, before you get saved, the devil tells you, if you get saved, you're going to have to quit doing all these things. And then you get saved and the devil tells you, you can still do all those things and be saved. You understand what I'm saying? He's a liar and the father of all lies. Amen. I remember the summer after I got saved. I'm in the National Guard and I had to do 2 weeks of National Guard duty. Amen. I remember the beginning of those 2 weeks that I was going through and I was worried. I was scared for the mat. I'd been saved. I knew God had touched my life, but I'd not been in an area where I would be tempted as much as I knew I would be tempted during those 2 weeks. I was going to be around a bunch of guys that cussed. I was going to be around a bunch of guys that had all kinds of filthy language. I was going to be around a bunch of guys that smoked and drank. And here I was. I was worried, Brother Lamb. I was scared. I was scared that I'd go back to the same lifestyle. I was scared that I wouldn't be strong enough. Amen. And I remember Staff Sergeant Pierce he was then. I remember he was one of the first guys that I talked to there. I was driving a Hummer around the camp we were at up in New York. Sergeant Pierce, I saw him. I was talking to him and something happened and I didn't cuss. He looked at me and said, you don't cuss? I said, no, I don't cuss. By the grace of God, I don't cuss. He said, you'll cuss before this is over. That was the devil working through one of his children. He said, you'll cuss before this is over. Every morning I'd get up. One of the first things on my mind was Sergeant Pierce's face saying, you'll cuss. You'll cuss. Yeah, you'll cuss. You won't be able to hold off. you don't have the strength in yourself. You see, Jesus came to deliver us from our bondage, but Jesus came to deliver us as well, amen, through our human weaknesses. Amen. Just because we're weak, it's not an excuse. Amen. Just because we're humans, it's not an excuse to give in to sin. Amen. Temptation may come our way, but temptation doesn't have to conquer us. Amen. Because Christ was fully human, and as fully human, amen, He condemned sin in the flesh. Why did He condemn sin in the flesh? Because He showed us that sin doesn't belong there. Amen. Hallelujah. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but for sin He condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. And all as the weeks went on. Amen. I'd see Sergeant Pierce here or there. Amen. He'd look at me and he'd say, "You cuss yet?" I'd say, "By the grace of God, I haven't cussed." I remember I read through the book of Daniel. I think I might have read through it a couple times. Those three Hebrew children, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, they didn't burn. Thank God for them. Amen. I looked at those men as an example. Amen. I read through the Word of God about being more than conquerors. I prayed more. Amen. The more scared I was, the more I received the spirit of adoption, whereby I cried, "Abba, Father." The more I cried, "Abba, Father," the more the Lord gave me power and love and a sound mind. And as the 2 weeks went on, thank God. Amen. Though I was tempted, amen, I didn't cuss. Though I was tempted, I didn't smoke. Amen. Though I was tempted, hallelujah, amen, I didn't give in. Amen. We've got a misconception of temptation. We think when we're tempted it's something bad. But temptation is not an opportunity to sin for a Christian. Amen. It is an opportunity to sin for a sinner. But temptation is not an opportunity to sin. It's an opportunity to shine. Amen. Oh, that's why the Bible tells us we can rejoice when we fall into diverse temptation. Why is that? Amen. If God allowed it to come my way, that means God knows that with His help, I can make it through. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. He's been tempted like we have, yet without sin. Amen. He's been tempted in all points, tested. He was pure gold when He came forth. He was pure gold. There was no way that temptation could yield any other results than pure, amen, and absolute purity. Amen. So when temptation comes your way, if you're praying, you're seeking God, you're filling yourself with God's Word, you're putting on the whole armor of God, you're doing what Peter said, and you're adding to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance, brotherly kindness, and all these other things. Amen. If you make your calling and election sure, Peter said, you will not fall. Amen. You don't go through temptation and make it through temptation just by making sure that you're strong enough in temptation. You get through temptation by making sure you're strong enough before temptation. Amen. Preparation is the best answer. Amen. I like preventative maintenance. Amen. I don't like to have to fix a tragedy. I don't like to have to get my engine fixed because I didn't put oil in it. Prevention is the best medicine. Thank God. Amen. And you can prevent yourself from falling by making your call and election sure. Amen. You can fill yourself with the Word of God and with prayer and know that when temptation comes your way, you don't have to fear. Amen. You don't have to put yourself down. You can say, "Thank you, Lord. Your Word is trying me right now, and I know that I'm going to come forth as gold." Amen. Not to say or minimize what temptation can do to somebody. Amen. But remember what Jesus said to His disciples. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Remember that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying. They were sleeping. Jesus ended up coming 3 times. He warned them. 3 times He told them, watch and pray. The 3rd time He came, He said, "Sleep on. Sleep on." They didn't even realize what happened. Would Peter have denied the Lord if he'd have been praying? I don't think so. I don't think so. Would James and John have forsaken Him and fled if they'd been praying? I don't think so. Amen. Any time that we've ever fallen because of our weakness, it's because we weren't leaning on His strength. Are you in your place tonight? Are you living where God has prepared for you to live? Jesus said, "I go away to prepare a place for you." Amen. There's a place that Jesus has prepared for us. There's many mansions that are already there. But there's a place we can live in. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Amen. I'm glad to be a Christian tonight. Amen. And since we're Christians tonight, the devil is not our master. The devil has no dominion over us. Our trials may assail us, but they don't have to bring us under. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. And I'm glad to know He's a merciful high priest. He's been through what we've been through. He's a faithful high priest. He's a faithful high priest. He said, "Lo," Matthew 28:20, "I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we are delivered from the yoke of bondage. But Jesus gives us His yoke. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Amen. You shall find rest for your soul. Satan's yoke brings weariness, but Jesus' yoke brings rest. Amen. And Jesus' yoke is like those old ox yokes that were made out of wood. Amen. My yoke is easy. That means my yoke fits well. And we can understand it's His yoke. And many times in the Old Testament days when they would plow an ox, they would build their ox yokes and make their ox yokes. They would plow and use these oxen to plow. These oxen would, no doubt, they would set things up with the strongest ox that they had. Amen. They would set up this strong ox to bear the largest part of the load. Amen. And there would be two places in this ox yoke. Amen. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Amen. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The ox yoke had two places. One was for the experienced ox who would bear the heaviest part of the load. And the other part was for the young ox who didn't have the strength to carry that load by himself. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, He was saying, I am the experienced ox. Don't bear your load by yourself. Take my yoke upon you so that you can understand, amen, that it's not you carrying the load. Though you may walk through this weary world, you're not walking alone. I'm glad to know that Jesus came down to this earth and He went before me and experienced all that I had to experience. Jesus experienced bereavement of family members. Jesus experienced rejection. He experienced hunger. He experienced thirst. He experienced need. He experienced all these earthly elements. Amen. He came before us and He went before us. Amen. But also we understand He goes with us. Amen. He goes with us. He's a faithful high priest. He goes with us. Amen. Jesus went away. Amen. He said, but if I go away, amen, I will give you another comforter. That word comforter is one who's called alongside of. Amen. Oh, thank God. Amen. I'm glad to know that though I may have some infirmities in my flesh, amen, likewise also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Jesus, amen, is ever before the throne of God. Who is He that condemneth us? Amen. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen. Amen. Who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7 says that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. He's gone before us. He's going with us. Amen. And with His help, we can make it through. We don't go through on our own. We don't carry the load by ourselves. Amen. But Jesus is carrying the load. That's the way we can cast our care upon Him. For He careth for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you rise to your feet here tonight? Hallelujah. I know I've preached. I've taken a while. Amen. I tried to get where I wanted to go. And I hope, amen, I hope I'm helping somebody tonight. I really felt God press this on my heart. Amen. Are you in your place? Amen. Are you living too low? Amen. Are you in your place? Amen. As they're beginning to play, I remember a story that I heard just after I first got saved. You know how the eagles do sometimes in life. They get to, you've probably heard the story and know it better than I do. But I remember hearing the story about the eagles who at some points in their life, for some reason or another, though they were made to soar in the skies, they would come down to the low valleys for whatever reason. And the way that an eagle is designed by God, that eagle has a certain type of tear that develops in its eye. Amen. That comes to moisten its eye while it's flying through the skies. But while that eagle's too low, amen, if it stays there too long, those tears begin to harden and dry and weigh that eagle's beak down. Ever been there before? There was a man who observed some eagles in that place. They were in a valley, dragging their beaks along the ground. They couldn't pick their heads up, nor could they get into the sky. The longer they were there, the heavier the burden got. They couldn't find any food. They couldn't find any strength. Amen. And as they were there in this low place for too long, they found that there wasn't enough strength in themselves to make it. Amen. This man came back to observe the eagles. And when he came back the second time, he observed that there was other eagles flying through the sky. Amen. Dropping down pieces of meat. These were eagles, the Indian guide said, that had been there before and knew that there was some struggling down in the valley. Amen. But as time went on, this man came back to see how many eagles made it and if there was any that did survive. He noticed that there were some that had died. Amen. But as he observed, there was one, amen, who took some of this meat and strengthened themselves. Amen. And scraped the build up and the talc off of their beak. Amen. And soared back to the place where they once were. Amen. I want to tell you, sometimes Christians, amen, we live lower than we should be. Amen. And sometimes if you stay too low for too long, it seems like you can never get back up to the top. Amen. But I want to try to drop a little meat to you here tonight to give you some strength. Amen. So you can find some nourishment and get back to the place where you once were and soar high in the heavens where God designed for you to soar. Amen. The Bible says, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run, amen, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to encourage you tonight to find a place of prayer. Amen. If that's you tonight, amen, I'm not going to embarrass you or make you feel bad. Amen. I want to encourage you. I want to drop you a little meat. I want to give you a little strength tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Just because you're going through a trial doesn't mean you're bad. Just because you're going through a difficulty doesn't mean that God's forsaken you. Just because you're facing temptations, just because the word of the Lord is trying you, doesn't mean there's anything bad. Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, amen, hallelujah, the trying of your faith is more precious than that of gold. Amen. When you come forth, you can say like Job, I will come forth as gold. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, you're in your place. Oh, it's time to stop letting the devil beat you up. Hallelujah. Oh, you have a faithful high priest who's called alongside of you, who's going to give you the help and strength that you need. Praise God. He's a faithful high priest. He'll never leave your side. He's a merciful high priest. He's been through what you're going through. He understands. Hallelujah. Nobody else may understand. Nobody else may know. But God understands. Amen. Jesus understands. Oh, he identifies with you right now. He identifies with humanity, with the exception of sin. He identifies with our low condition, because he that was above all, he who was rich, became poor for us. He who is better than the angels was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Oh, praise God. He was crowned with glory and honor. By the grace of God, he tasted death for all men. I got victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Yes, I got the victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Well, I've been wounded in the battle. I got battle scars to show, but I'll come through the storm. Wind and rain, he's still the same, I know, and I got the victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Yes, I've got the victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Oh, just listen to that old lion. Can't you hear him roar? But I'm not afraid. I'll run this race with strength from my Lord, and I've got the victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Well, no harm, no harm. Oh, no harm, no harm. I've got victory over the enemy's been waiting. He's watching for me to fall. But I come through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil at all, cause I got the victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Yes, I got the victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Well, I've been wounded in the battle. I got battle scars to show, but I come to the storm, wind, and rain. He's still the same, I know, and I got victory
listen to that old lion. Can you hear him roar? But I'm not afraid. I'll run this race with strength from the Lord, and I've got victory over the enemy. And this world can do me no harm. Oh yes, I've got the victory over the enemy. And this world can do me no harm. Oh no harm. Over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. Well, Jesus gave me the victory when he died on that old cross. He gave his life, he bore the stripes so I would not be lost. And I got the victory over the enemy, and this world, it can't do me no harm. Well, Jesus gave me the victory when he died on that old cross. He gave his life and he bore the stripes so I would not be lost. And I've got victory over the enemy. This world can't do me no harm. Oh, I got the victory over the enemy. And this world, well, no harm, no harm, no harm. Over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. The enemy's been waiting, watching for me to fall. But I come through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil at all. Cause I got the victory over the enemy, and this world, it can't do me no harm. Oh yes, I got the victory over the enemy. Well, my Jesus gave me victory when he died on that old cross. He gave his life and he bore the stripes so I would not be lost. And I got the victory over the enemy. And this world, it can't do me no harm. Oh, no harm, no harm, no harm, no harm. Jesus gave me the victory when he died on that old cross. He gave his life and he bore the stripes so I would not be lost. Now I've got the victory over the enemy. And this world, it can't do me no harm. Oh, I got the victory over the enemy. This world can't do me no harm. Oh, listen to that old lion. Can't you hear him roar? But I'm not afraid. I'll run this race with strength from the Lord. And I've got victory over the enemy. And this world, it can't do me no harm. Yes, I got the victory over the enemy. And this world, it can't do me no harm. I've been wounded in the battle. I've got battle scars show. But I come to the storm, wind, and rain. He's still the same, I know. And I got the victory over the enemy. And this world can't do me no harm. Yes, I got the victory over the enemy.